You're listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
I'm Matt Deegan. I'm the creative director of Folder Media and also run Fun Kids. And today I'm at the Radio Academy Masterclass in Leicester.
You just took a session on social media and you're always broadcasting. Do you want to give us a bit more of an idea as to the main points of that talk?
Sure. So social media is obviously a massive topic and there's lots of different things that people think about. I think there are two key things that for presenters and new people who want to get into radio. Is one is your own social media because that makes you very searchable. If I want to find out about you, if you send me a CV or a demo, I can read what you say, but I can also look at your Twitter or your Facebook or your SoundCloud or your YouTube, both good and bad, and that might help me or hinder me from getting you involved in my radio station. So we talked a bit about tidying up your Facebook and Twitter profile so it has the best opportunity of putting yourself forward. And the other side we looked at was what the value for radio stations and for radio broadcasters are of using social media. Now, we know that every radio station in the world seems Twitter obsessed or all about Facebook, and really think about why that is. And the key thing, like most radio stations, is about trying to grow your reach, the amount of people that tune into your radio station, and to grow your hours, so the amount of times or how long people listen to the station. And actually, with social, there's quite a lot you can do with the right content in the right place at the right time that can help you generate your radio station and your show reach and generate the station hours. And for people who want to work in the radio industry, to be able to demonstrate that you've got experience in growing reach and hours makes you a much more employable person in the radio industry.
A lot of students at our age have grown up with social media, and for the right reasons or wrong reasons, we know how to exploit it. What are the must-dos and the must-not-dos? Because it's very easy to do a lot of the latter.
I think the key thing is understanding which platforms your audience are on, and that changes radio to radio station. And you know, not many radio stations are using Tumblr or Snapchat, but actually, especially for a teenage audience and a little bit older, Tumblr is hugely powerful. If you think how much content is liked on Tumblr or retumbled or spread to more people, Tumblr is an amazing platform to use, and most radio stations would never think about that. Similarly, I've kind of heard some stations using WhatsApp and Snapchat as ways to get in touch because it's a free messaging service, it's something people are kind of more comfortable with. I think if you're using it kind of professionally, and that's even if you're at a student radio station and you're using it professionally, it's like, what's its job? You know, why are you doing that? What are you putting there? Is it doing something? And with radio stations, it's do they engage with you personally? Does it make them more likely to listen to you next time? A lot of people get social when they're not listening because they're out and about and they're doing something, they're in the bus queue or whatever. Now, that might make them tune in, or it might build a position in their minds that, oh, that's the radio station that is always funny or has the sports news or talks about music or whatever. And you can build that position on social as well as on the radio. What disappoints me as a sort of radio person is when radio people forget their radio skills, you know, get to the point with links, sort of one thought, one link, being entertaining. It's like, well, just do that in this other platform, on Twitter, on Facebook. You know, you are supposed to have these skills, apply them to the other platforms and retain those listeners.
Your station is Fun Kids, and so the audience is a lot younger.
Yeah.
A lot younger. How does social media work with that then?
That's a great question. So our audience for Fun is mainly 6 to 12 year olds. If you're under 13, you're not allowed to be on Facebook and Twitter. That's not to say that a good chunk of that audience are in those places endorsed by their parents, but as a responsible radio station, we use social purely for parents and not for children. So we use actually as a potential way, again, as a reach builder, and it's reach that will encourage their kids to listen, because we'll talk about comps or we'll talk about what's going on or videos, and hopefully we provide parents with social ammunition to give to their kids, go, hey, look at this, look at that, look at the other. So there's value there. The other thing is there are social places for children. So there's websites called Moshi Monsters and Bin Weevils that are big kind of social games, and we've done a lot of stuff with Moshi Monsters, and we're about to do a big thing with Bin Weevils this year. And that Bin Weevils is their Twitter equivalent, and they will be able to visit our Bin Weevils nest and talk to our presenters and message that way. And again, just like that Tumblr example, it's like looking at ways to find where your audience are and do the right things.
Final thing, you're here all day. Is there a particular talk you're looking forward to hear from?
I think it's all interesting. I think the thing about conferences, I'm a big fan of conferences and talks, and even though this one is kind of pitched to people who are getting into the industry, I'm interested to hear Jocelyn Stainer later from Radio 1, who sort of looks after new talent. I'm interested in what does she pick up on, what's important to her, and for that radio station, has that changed? And events like this are good because it's sort of, wherever you are, it sort of updates you slightly and you kind of think a bit more about it.
To hear more, go to studentradio.org.uk.